Radio Prague News. Power plant in the Czech Republic. Around 100 members of the Czech counter-terrorist unit have left for Afghanistan. And according to a new poll, around 50% of Czechs would support a total ban on smoking in public areas. A Czech government delegation has signed an agreement in South Korea with Hyundai Motor on the construction of the company's new car plant in Nošovice in North Moravia. The document was signed by the Czech Trade and Industry Minister Milan Urban and the Vice President of Hyundai Motor Kim Dong-jin. Minister Urban said that he's not afraid that the current investigation into the financial scandal in the company could delay the construction. Hyundai is planning to invest some $800 million in the Czech Republic. Around 100 members of the Czech counter-terrorist unit have left for Afghanistan, Chief of Staff Pavel Štefka told reporters on Thursday. The soldiers will join the rest of the unit who had arrived in the country in April to take part in a US-led operation Enduring Freedom. The contingent is similar to one sent to Afghanistan 2 years ago. It had 120 members and was under United States command. Currently, there are another two Czech contingents serving in Afghanistan, but they operate under NATO command. According to a poll carried out by the SCNC agency, around 50% of Czechs would support a total ban on smoking in public areas, including restaurants, while 41% are against it. The poll suggests that supporters of the ban prevail among women, senior citizens and followers of the Christian Democrat Party, whose deputy Josef Janáček has repeatedly failed to push through the ban in the lower house of Czech parliament. A report by the Interior Ministry says that last month the lowest number of people applied for asylum in the Czech Republic since 1999. Asylum applications were filed by 218 foreigners in April, most of them from Ukraine and Kazakhstan, followed by Belarus, Turkey and Russia. Since 1990, more than 82,000 foreigners have applied for asylum in the Czech Republic. Asylum was granted to almost 3,000 people. The Czech international footballer Tomáš Galásek has signed a new 2-year contract with Germany's Nürnberg after leaving Ajax Amsterdam on a free transfer. Galásek, who's 33, has been playing in the Dutch league since 1996. He was appointed Czech national captain after Pavel Nedvěd quit, though it's not clear whether he or Nedvěd will captain the Czech Republic at the World Cup in Germany, after the Juventus midfielder made a return to international football. And finally, the weather. The next couple of days are expected to be overcast with some sunny spells. Daytime temperatures should reach highs of up to 23 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková and that's the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Jarrett. Coming up, we look at the fight against the HIV virus in the Czech Republic. Sparta Prague's home ground, the Toyota Arena, could be knocked down to make way for a new national football stadium. A Czech shipwreck victim has been found in mysterious circumstances, and we take a look at the Day of Wine here in the Czech Republic. All this to come, so stay tuned. Firstly, fears of bird flu and SARS have dominated headlines of late, driving the deadly HIV virus into the background of world attention, even as statistics show that AIDS isn't going away. Indeed, to date, more than 28 million people worldwide have died from the disease. That's nearly 3 times the total population of the Czech Republic. This Sunday, the International AIDS Candlelight Memorial will pay homage to those who have died around the globe, including a ceremony here in Prague on Wenceslas Square. Radio Prague spoke with people who are living with HIV and with others who are fighting against the spread of the virus here in the Czech Republic. Brian Sabin reports.
Well, Chris, so far the Czech Republic and its neighbors have been lucky. UNAIDS and the World Health Organization indicate that Central and Western Europe has one of the lowest rates of HIV infection in the world. Here in the Czech Republic, the total number of deaths from AIDS is in the hundreds, and statistics indicate that about 0.1% of Czechs live with the HIV virus. However, Dr. Marie Bručková, who heads the National Reference Laboratory on AIDS, says that infections are rising steadily by between 50 and 100 cases per year. She adds that this is probably not the whole picture.
We have certain worries. We have an increase of those who are HIV infected, who are registered. You know, we can suppose there are more people infected whom we don't register. So those we do register are going up. We may suppose that there are some more people, and usually we say 5 times more than we register. I wouldn't say more than 5 times.
One factor worrying officials is that nearby Ukraine, which has many of its citizens living and working here in the Czech Republic, is the worst affected country in all Europe. There, the HIV infection rate stands at 1.4%. UNAIDS also says that in the Russian Federation, HIV was initially prevalent in intravenous drug users, but is now spreading to sex workers and their clients. Deputy Health Minister Michael Vitt says that an uneven policy on testing between the Czech Republic and former Soviet states is not helping the matter.
Yes, I think that we have a little problem with migration, with former states of Soviet Union. If I want to go to Soviet Union, I have to be investigated. When colleagues from Soviet Union flying to Czech Republic, they haven't. It's a problem.
The high cost of drugs is another problem. The Czech Republic spends roughly half of its annual AIDS budget on antiretroviral drugs.
We need the new antiviral drugs. They are not registered in Czech Republic. And this type of drugs we cannot pay by health insurance company. This part pay from budget of Minister of Health. For us, it's a little expensive. But now we discuss with health insurance company about all drugs will be covered.
Michael Vitt doesn't expect these talks to produce results this year, but is hopeful for more progress beginning in 2007. Meanwhile, Dr. Marie Bruchkova and other officials are worried that a new generation of kids who are still healthy are growing up unaware of the threat of AIDS, which remains very, very real. UNAIDS attributes 3.1 million fatalities worldwide last year to the disease, and despite these deaths, the disease seems less visible than it's been in the past. That's what Dr. Marie Bruchkova says, and she says that that is causing the rate of infection to rise.
The reason of this increase, I think that's because the young people, the young generation, they don't have this fear from this AIDS disease as the previous generation have. The previous generation saw those who are dying for AIDS. For instance, in New York, everybody knew Rock Hudson. They just see the impact of this disease. And nowadays, generation, they don't see it.
We went out and asked students at Charles University whether they were concerned about the risks of HIV and AIDS. All were, of course, aware of the disease, but most said they weren't worried about getting the infection themselves. Here's what one student, Stepan, had to say when asked whether he feared contracting HIV.
Well, not personally, I know about it, but, well, it's not my problem, so...
Has your behavior changed because of the disease?
Well, no, not at all.
Over at Prague's Lighthouse, which helps people afflicted with HIV, a resident offers a word of caution. Martin's older brother died of AIDS, and he himself is HIV positive. He says that people should know the risk is real and do everything in their power to be safe.
I don't think having AIDS in the Czech Republic is any different from in Germany or Belgium or anywhere else. Since I found out I was HIV positive, I've stopped using drugs, and also started talking to my family again. People need to be careful. They should realize that the infection is here. If they're drug users, they should use their own needles and their own equipment. If they have a long-term partner, they should be careful, and if they don't, they should always use condoms.
That report by Brian Sabin. Bulldozers could be moving into Prague's Letná in the near future, after plans were unveiled on Wednesday to build a national football stadium on the site of the current Toyota Arena, home to the first division club Sparta. The stadium, which could be ready by 2010, would also host other sporting events as well as football. Rob Cameron has this report.
Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek, a football fan and also a man who needs to win an election in 2 weeks' time, announced after meeting the deputy head of the Czech Football Association, Vlastimil Košťál, on Wednesday that if the Social Democrats return to power, the new government will dig deep into their pockets to support the project.
Pokud budu já předsedou vlády po volbách, tak budu prosazovat, aby vláda uvolnila.
If I remain prime minister after the elections, I will ask the government to release approximately 1 billion crowns to build the necessary infrastructure for the national football stadium.
1 miliardu korun.
The idea of building a national stadium is not new and has both public and political support. At present, most international games are played at Sparta's ground at Letna, but the stadium has a limited capacity of 22,000 seats. In the past, there have been proposals to build a new 50,000-seater national stadium on various sites on the outskirts of Prague. But they have now been abandoned for a more modest plan, tearing down the Toyota Arena and constructing a 35,000-seater purpose-built national stadium in its place. Sparta Prague, which owns the land, would continue to play there. But with so much talk of the parlous state of the game, allegations of corruption are rife, some have asked whether Czech football really deserves a new stadium. Czech football journalist Petr Nosálek says it doesn't.
You can't escape the question, shouldn't the current bosses of Czech football have different priorities? As you may know, we had once again a shameful end of the league season with surprising results in the last round, with people chanting money, money, money at the referee during the match of the new champion Slovan Liberec. So the league football here is in a mess morally, and I think that to solve this problem should be the real priority of Czech football. I believe that with yesterday's announcement, the bosses only tried to disguise the fact that they don't and can't have a recipe to cure Czech football from a very serious disease called corruptness.
There's scant evidence that calls like that are being heard at the Czech FA, however, who seemed keen to push ahead with the project as quickly as possible. Czech football may be going through one of the most shameful episodes in its history, but there seems little doubt the new 3 billion crown stadium will rise on Letna Plain.
Rob Cameron, thank you. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, and from home turf to distant shores. He appeared out of the blue, floating on a raft in the North Sea between Denmark and Norway. Like the mystery piano man found in Britain last year, the shipwrecked survivor, who was spotted by the crew of a Swedish tanker on April the 21st, appeared to have no past and no identity. But the mystery has now been solved. The man is a 49-year-old Czech who was driven by a thirst for adventure. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
He spent several days out in the sea, floating on a raft he'd made from wooden planks and four barrels. When the crew of the Swedish tanker pulled him on board ship, he was dehydrated and suffering from frostbite and appeared more than a little disoriented. He claimed to have been abandoned by a ship, but could not say what ship it was or where it was bound for. Either he could not or would not say who he was, changing his story frequently and at one point claiming to be an American who had been living in Europe. A lengthy investigation has now revealed his identity, confirmed by his own mother, who lives in Mladá Boleslav, northeast of Prague. The man is Jiří Kvapil, originally from a village called Babylon. From an early age, his ambition was to travel around the world. Trapped behind closed borders in communist Czechoslovakia, he was not likely to fulfill this dream, so he emigrated in 1989, ironically just before the fall of communism. His mother says he sent her postcards from all over the world, including Germany and Great Britain. Driven by wanderlust, he failed to settle down anywhere, and it is not clear where or if he worked at all. On a recent short visit back home, he took away all his personal possessions, including the postcards that he'd sent his mother, as if wanting to break all ties with the past. His mother says her son is seriously ill and was determined to go his way. She believes he wanted to sail his raft to America. He was always a good lad, but fate wasn't kind, she told the police sadly. Whether or not America was his destination, Jiří Kvapil's next trip will be back to the Czech Republic, where the Swedish authorities plan to extradite him in the coming days.
Daniela Lazarova reporting. Finally, in this week's panorama, as Tuesday marked the day of wine in the Czech Republic, Rob Cameron went along to the Wine and Spirits Trade Fair to examine the challenges faced by Czech wine producers today.
I'm standing in front of the Vistavistje trade ground. Today is the day of Czech wines, and there's a huge trade fair on, and it's called Wines and Spirits. With me is Lenka Mrovová. She's from one of the exhibitors today, one of the biggest wine producers in the Czech Republic. Now, what does this trade fair mean for a company such as yours? It's an important day, presumably.
Yeah, of course, this is a very important day for us. I'm from the company Soares Sect, and we are the producers and distributors of sparkling wines and, of course, of wines.
What goes on at a big trade fair like this? Presumably it's a chance to meet and catch up with other people in the business.
Exactly. You can check the trade of the Czech wines, also the wines from abroad. You can catch the new customers. You can open new relationships.
Speaking there of new customers, I gather that wine drinking is on the up in the Czech Republic. More and more people, especially young people, are turning to wine and turning away from beer.
Yeah, exactly. We are famous as a nation that drink beer, but now the situation is changing because young people start to drink more wine. The wine market is growing. Each year the percentage is going up and up, but if I can compare like the big market and the wine market, there are so many players on the wine market. It's much more tough and much more small players. In the Czech Republic, you have got 4 or 5 big beer brands, but so many wine brands. So each customer, young or older, can choose whatever he or she wants.
Right, so it must be very, very fierce competition then among the individual winemakers.
Exactly. The competition is bigger from abroad. You have got the wines from Italy, wines from Australia, wines from Chile. And of course, that the situation now after the Velvet Revolution, after 89, people want to taste something new. So of course that the Czech brands and Czech winemakers from the part which is called Morava, which is famous for wine production, is good, but also must to compare now in European Union to the Italian, to the Spanish winemakers, and then from the winemakers from all over the world.
Right, and now the million-dollar question, Czech wine, is it any good?
Of course.
Right, well, I'm going to go and put that to the test now. Thank you very much.
My name is Martin Prokesh, and my grandfather, my father, and all family have a strong winemaking or wine producing tradition, and now I am marketing director of company winery Vinium Velké Palovice. It's one of the specialized original Moravian wines producing company.
So you probably have wine running through your veins, not blood, yes?
Yes, maybe.
Generally, are things looking good for the Czech wine industry?
I think that our wines, Moravian and Czech wines, because 96% of production is Moravian origin wines, have very good brand in consumer mind, and we have a very good position. But after European Union entry, we have strong and every year very hard to sell our wines because there are strong distributors, it means an international retail chains. And
So EU entry, EU membership has not necessarily been a good thing for Czech winemakers.
Trade was opened, but I think that the problem was that we have very strong competition in retail chains, and they import wines without any other costs, but we have costs with distribution, so there are not similar conditions. So I think that international wines are in the best position for distribution through these chains.
Right, because I know that in my corner shop where I live, I can walk in there. It's a tiny shop, doesn't sell much, but I can come out with a bottle of Jacob's Creek or other South African wines, Chilean wines for a couple of dollars.
Yeah, I think. But I think that Moravian wines are, although very original, very special, white wines are very fruity and very fresh. I think that you cannot find these wines similar in the world. Red wines are very fruity, very fresh also. So I think that we have a place in the wine world. But in our now situation in our market is very hard to sell.
Right. Well, let's put that claim to the test, because you've brought me a wine to try. It's a Rulanské Bílé, which is a white wine. Can you describe it a bit before we try it?
It's a Pinot Blanc. It's in the Czech language, it's Rulanské Bílé. It's a late harvest in our categories by Winery Law. It's our exclusive collection for gastronomy only. It's distributed only through wholesalers to gastronomy directly. And
to posh restaurants, in other words.
Directly. This is a young wine with very good maturing grapes and very nice, attractive color, yellow with green reflexes.
It is very sort of yellowy, isn't it? Very rich color.
Yeah, very rich, and it reflects this very good maturing of grapes in vineyards. When you smell, you can smell very nice, fruity, fresh, tropical, or our typical Moravian fruit. It means peach, apples, and sometimes you can find honey.
Honey. Right. I'm salivating now, so we have to try it. Mm. That's very good, isn't it? It's very fruity.
It's very fruity, and it has very round taste. It means that you can find it's very harmonious and also fruity in taste. So I think it's very good. It can be make combination with fruit salads, vegetable salads. Also, you can combine with special Czech and Moravian cuisine.
Right now, I have to drive today, so I'm not going to have any more of that, although it's very, very good indeed. Are you finding now that Czechs are turning away from their traditional national drink, which is beer, and starting to drink wine more?
Yeah, because also our marketing statistical numbers say that people likes more and more every year. We have growing in wine consumption. This year it will be 17.7 per capita liters per year. Beer is decreasing, also distillates are decreasing, so it's a very good situation because people change their lifestyle, they eat more healthily, and it depends what they can drink. I think that when you drink wine, you automatically eat very, very healthy.
And judging from the hordes of people queuing up outside the Vista Vistia trade grounds here at the Wines and Spirits Trade Fair, drinking wine is not going out of fashion anytime soon.
Vínečko růde.
And that brings us to the end of today's programme. If you'd like to comment on any of the issues raised, you can email english@radio.cz or write to us at Radio Prague, 12099, Prague 2 in the Czech Republic. My name's Chris Jarrett, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, we hope you've enjoyed the programme. Goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français. Pour nous écrire, voici notre adresse.